Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I am not quite sure how this happened, that I am standing here this morning in this pulpit again, preaching, not Pastor Karen's sermon this week, as I did a few weeks ago, but one that I actually labored over with the help of God. My memory is faulty sometimes, but I have a clear memory of having decided and declared that in my retirement I would not be preaching. But the Spirit must have had other plans. So here I was this past week having procrastinated for about 6 weeks, you know, with the angst that I try to avoid these days, trying to decide what God wants me to say and what God wants you to hear. I was reminded of a story about a pastor who had asked his wife to go over his sermon and do a bit of editing for him and scratch out anything that was extraneous or inappropriate or irrelevant. And I didn't have anyone to do that for me, and maybe I was just afraid. But so he stepped into the pulpit on Sunday morning, flipped over the cover sheet, and said, "In conclusion..." So, don't get your hopes up. I'm not there yet. It did not help my SPC, that is short for sermon preparation consternation, when I turned to the Corinthians text for today, and there in the words of St. Paul were, "Woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel." The gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. He uses the word 4 times in the first 2 sentences. Thank you, God, for not using a real 2x4. Just those 2 sentences, 1 word, 4 times, gospel. So with all hope, faith, and trust, today we focus on the gospel. We will start with the Old Testament. Whoa, who would have guessed? The gospel in the Old Testament. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? What? We want to ask. What? Heard what? And the answer, Isaiah, the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And what will the Lord do? Michael Jonkos, is that how you say that? Michael Jonkos, as the hymn writer, he interpreted the lines of that text, "And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand." Isaiah is sometimes called the fifth gospel because of how much he mentions the coming Messiah. That is the promise. Need we be so worried about anything individually or as a congregation? Have we not known? Have we not heard? Have we not been told to us from the beginning? Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways, and now he speaks to us with a son. I remember being in a grocery store about 40 years ago. This has really stuck with me. And one young father of a 3 or 4 year old stopped me in the aisle and asked me to listen to his daughter, who then spouted out what is called the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. And so she said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life." And I stood there smiling, but not really knowing what to say except, "Oh my, that was so very good." And I don't know where that little girl is today, but she would be in her mid-40s. And I wonder what challenges life has presented her. And I pray for her that what she had memorized at such a tender age, and what seemed to me at the time maybe a little bit like a parlor trick in the middle of the grocery aisle, had taken root in her heart, with all the manifest love implied and inferred in the words she memorized, and that whatever she has had to face, that the precious message was there for her, as it has been for me. And so how about all of us? What life challenges has presented themselves to us? Is the message there for us? How about you? What do you worry about, personally or as a congregation? It is serious business what this congregation is dealing with. Calling a new pastor, or calling two new pastors, or worship and music leadership, an administrative assistant, outreach leadership, family life leadership, what? And it is totally understandable for there to be deep discernment. But as the angels are wont to say, do not be afraid. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Throughout all our readings today, there is the gospel. Isaiah, the promise, 1 Corinthians, the word gospel used 5 times in that text. And of course, today, the gospel according to Mark. Interesting that we use that term, according to the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, Holy Gospel according to Luke, John, each telling the same truth, but from some different perspective, so that we may get a full picture. But there is one core, one basic point, and sometimes we can get so distracted by the description that we might miss that point. So I'm going to do something a little different just today for 10 seconds before we turn to Mark. I am going to be silent and let you form in your mind, what is the gospel according to you? Please don't distract yourself by timing me. Just trust me. You have 10 seconds to put it into words. And if you can't, don't worry about it. It doesn't change the reality. The gospel is the gospel, and the gospel will be the gospel. What we think won't change it, except, of course, how we live it out. 10 seconds. The gospel, what is it? What does it mean for you? Okay, time's up. Now let's turn to the gospel according to Mark, the 1st chapter. Jesus and Simon, not yet called Peter in the story, and Andrew and James and John, and of the house of Simon Peter, I'll call him, where his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. And Jesus took her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Come evening, the word had gotten out, and the whole city is gathering around the door, and they brought to him the sick and those possessed by demons, and he cured many. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place and prayed. Now, Simon and the others, they went hunting for Jesus. They find him and say, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus responds by saying, let us go on into the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do. Interesting. Doesn't seem to be worried. Not, oh, well, let me get back and heal everybody quick. Or, oh my, demons, demons. No, he rather suggests that they press on to the next town so that he may proclaim the message there also, because that is what he came to do. It is true that along the way to the cross, Jesus heals the sick, he casts out demons, he calms the storms, he feeds the hungry. And all those are signs. All that is reported, and it is reported for a reason. But his primary purpose, why he came, is to proclaim the message. The miracles are supporting evidence. And our good works, like his miracles, you know, not our good works don't save us and they don't save the world. The miracles are supporting evidence, but his primary purpose is to proclaim the gospel, and he is the gospel. Jesus not only brings the message, he is the incarnation of the message. The kingdom of God has come near, and Jesus is here. He does not only bring the good news, he is the good news. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be talking and concerned and praying to get it right in our church life, in war and peace, about poverty and wealth, sickness and health. According to the Gospels and our commitment to the Gospel, God is love and Jesus is Lord, and his presence in our lives is what we need to be about. This will help us live out in response to all those things in a way that is faithful. And the world will know that the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and that Jesus is his son. It seems to me that we keep trying to solve things ourselves with our technology, with our intellect, with our plans and laws, with our partisanship. Yet there is still so much violence and hatred and corruption and cruelty and lust and fouling of our environment and indifference to the plight of the needy. And at the root of all this, human hearts are crying out for love and forgiveness, for meaning and reconciliation, for peace and for hope. And Jesus, his very person, is all that for us. Jesus is the gospel. He is love. He is forgiveness. He is the meaning and reconciliation. He is peace. He is hope. Let Christ be our light, not our own perceived abilities or not our own perceived lack of abilities. Jesus is the good news. So, Lent will be here soon, and what I personally desire is to spend enough time with our Lord to get to know him better. And maybe you would like to do the same. Amen.